Well, may I ask you again to open your Bibles. As you know, on Sunday nights, we're learning together from the book of Jude. And if you'd like to turn to it this evening, and book of Jude, just the, for those who may not be familiar, it's the last book before Revelation at the end. Only one chapter, but it's of tremendous relevance for us today, and I hope you're finding it helpful. This evening, we're going to be covering verse 5, through to verse 7. Though you already know all this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Will you pray with me, friends, as we turn to God's word? Father, we thank you that today, on this long weekend, we can just take the time to come and share together with one another, to build up one another in the things of God, to be able to learn from your word, to be able to mature in our walk with Jesus. Please speak to us from your word tonight. How we thank you for this little book of Jude. A book, Lord, that's just tucked away in the New Testament that sadly is not always read. But we pray tonight that as we continue to work our way through it, you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Remind us of these very, very important issues. And oh God, I pray that in all the years that lie before us, there wouldn't be anyone here tonight who will fall away, who will become an apostate, a pretender, and lose what they profess at the moment. Help us to remember and remind each other of eternal things, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, friends, just for a moment, It's so important always to remind one another of the context always of these verses. Remember, the book of Jude is a book that is written for those who are pretenders. That's the title of John MacArthur's book on the book of Jude. They pretend. They pretend to follow Christ. They pretend to read the Bible. They pretend to be Christians. They pretend to do all the right things. They pretend this and they pretend that. But over a period of time, they wander away. They give up what they hold to. And some of them even totally reject it and become what the Bible calls an apostate. So an apostate is somebody who has claimed to believe, has claimed to follow the Lord, has claimed to even have been converted, and then for whatever reason it is, they give it up and they go back into the world. A better title is pretenders. Now, in our first study together, we had a look at verses 1 and 2, where Jude, in a very wonderful way, gave us a description of a true Christian, so that there's no doubt who really are saved and who are truly God's people. Then the Sunday before last, we had a look at verse 3 and verse 4, where Jude introduced us to some of the characteristics of these pretenders and how you and I must be very, very careful that we are on our guard against them, because they are godless. They change the grace of God into a license for immorality. They deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So he's described the real Christian in verses 1 and 2. He's described the pretenders in verses 3 and 4. Now, what we're going to see this evening is the destruction of an apostate. What is going to happen to these people who pretend and then fall away and turn their backs on what God has clearly given us in His Word? In other words, tonight is a real warning for us, isn't it? And I hope it will be clear, and afterwards when we're having some sandwiches and some tea, maybe we can discuss it further. The first thing that we need to learn tonight, and it'll be up there on the outline, is that Jude reminds us that we must remember. We must remember certain things. And you know, my dear brothers and sisters, never ever forget three things that happened in the Bible. They are written for our warning, and they are written for our instruction. The first thing that we must remember is what happened to Israel in the wilderness. See verse 5? Though you already know all this. In other words, it's familiar to all of us here tonight. You all know the story. I want to remind you. It's all we're doing tonight. We're just reminding you. We're just clarifying it. It's all there, just reminding you that the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt. But later destroyed those who did not believe. Very, very well-known story. For 400 years, they had been slaves in Egypt. For 400 years. There was no way they could get out of that. They were in slavery. The going was very, very tough under the Pharaohs. And then God, in His sheer grace and His mercy and His kindness, miraculously delivered all the Israelites out of Egypt. He took them out of Egypt, roughly about 2 million. 2 million walked out of Egypt. And they had not gone very far when they hit the Red Sea. And again, God miraculously separated the waters. It was a miracle, wasn't it? Absolute miracle. The waters separated, and the Israelites walked through that sea on dry ground. 2 million Israelites. And He took them into the desert. And there they were on the way to the promised land. And He provided them with their food. And He provided them with their water. And He provided them with everything. When they didn't know where to go, there was the pillar of cloud. At night, when they didn't know what to do, there was the fire. God was so gracious. But within a few days, they began to grumble. And they began to complain. They first of all complained about the food. They didn't like the manna that God miraculously provided. So the quails were given. Then they complained about the lack of water. Then they complained about the leadership of Moses and Aaron. And all they wanted to do was to go back to Egypt. And the very first opportunity that they had was when Moses went up to the top of Mount Sinai. You know all of these things. And Moses goes up to the top of Mount Sinai to get the Ten Commandments. And when he came down with Joshua, he saw the most horrendous thing in the world, which again you all know. They began to worship the golden calf. The golden calf. They had become pretenders. They had become apostates. They had been filled now with unbelief and with grumbling and complaining and with hard hearts. My friends, there comes a time when a holy, sovereign God says that's enough. And He turns around to the 2 million people who had come out of Egypt And of those 2 million people above the age of 20, only 2 would enter the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. The rest were going to die in the desert. What could have taken them 11 days took 40 years in judgment. And they died. One by one, they died in the desert. They had seen the goodness of God. They had seen the power of God. They had seen the mercy of God. But they hardened their hearts. They became obstinate and grumbled and complained and turned their backs on God. They pretended to follow God. And God judged. What Jude is telling us in this little book, though you already know all of this, I want to remind you. What was the second story that he wants you and me never to forget? And that was the story with the angels. See verse 6, and the angels who did not keep their position of authority, but abandoned their own home. It's a difficult one, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We wrestle over these things. There are some of the folks who feel that that refers to the falling away of the angels, when Lucifer and a couple of others rebelled against God and were thrown out of heaven. Others refer that not to the falling away of the angels, but to the original falling away of Lucifer himself. But probably the better story is that which is recorded for us in the book of Genesis, in chapter 6 and verses 1 to 4, which says, when men began to increase in number on the earth and the daughters of were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful. They married any of them that they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years. It was that, when God saw that, it says, the Lord now saw how great was man's wickedness on the earth. Every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. His heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth. Men, animals, creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air. I am grieved that I've made them. But Noah. So what does God say? Because of what's happened, it probably was a situation where evil spirits had taken possession and demon-possessed people on the world. And the relationships that developed was of the most horrendous ever happening. And when God saw this, he said, that's enough. Every person, every animal, every creature, every bird, every insect, everything that I have made, I'm going to destroy. Except for Noah. One man out of the whole world. For 120 years, he began to build an ark, a ship. And he built this huge box. 120 years, he began to build it. And when it was ready, God enabled those animals to come in 2 by 2 into the ark. He took Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his 3 sons, and their wives, his wife. There were only 8 people. The rest of mankind was destroyed. And the world had to start again. All over from scratch. Jude says, don't forget what happened to those angels. They didn't keep their first estate. They left their habitation. They gave themselves over to fornication. They went after strange flesh. And God said, that's enough. I'm going to now destroy the world. And the flood came. And for 40 days and 40 nights, the water came from above and the water came from below. And everything was destroyed. And those angels, it tells us there, friends, you can see it there. What did he do to them? He kept in darkness. He bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. Remember. That's what God did. Remember what happened to Israel? 2 million came out. Only 2 got in. Remember what happened to the angels? And remember what happened to the world. God judged pretenders. But there was one other illustration. And that's in verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns, they gave themselves up to sexual immorality and to perversion. Well, again, it's well known to every one of us here. The story of the awful wickedness, particularly the sin of homosexuality, was to lead to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you can read about that, as you all know, in Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19. God looked down on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he saw their sin. Men began to lust after men. And the sexual perversion that was taking place in Sodom was again of the most horrendous type. Their excessive lusts, their appetites were carried beyond all restraint. They entered into shocking and unnatural relationships with one another. And God said, it's enough. And the Word of God tells us, friends, as you all know, that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed as an act of judgment from a holy God against pretenders and against sin. So what is Jude telling us in this amazing little book? Just one chapter. He says, do you see what is going to happen to pretenders? Now, just secondly and quickly, if we are to say to ourselves, these are stories that are true, they happened, they're accurate, they're in the Bible, we believe the Bible, we stand by the Bible, that's the view of our church. So we believe that. Pretenders are going to be judged. But the question is, why do people wander? Why don't they stay with Christ? Why do people profess and then drift off? Why does this happen? Well, sometimes it happens because of persecution. Some are not willing to pay the price. They are not willing to step over the line and be counted for Christ. And yet Jesus has told us in Matthew 24 and verse 9, you will be handed over. You will be persecuted. But you know what, friends? There's some pretenders and the price is too high. I was saying this morning, I'm reading such a challenging book at the moment. It really is very, very moving. It's the letters that a man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote while he was in prison. He was in prison under Hitler's regime. And, of course, in a few weeks' time, he was going to be executed. And he knew that was coming. But how he stood without any compromise. But there are many who are not willing to be scorned and to be rejected, perhaps to lose a position or lose a promotion, persecution. For others, they've been deceived by false teachers, which is what we saw last week. Mary and I were having lunch yesterday with a very good friend of ours, a man by the name of Kennedy Owino from Kenya. And he's studying further at university. And these were his words. He said, you know, yes, during the week, I could have asked the ground to swallow me up. That's how tragic it was to hear the lecturers speaking about liberal theology. It was terrible. Now what he was saying is that by God's grace he's grounded. But there are those who listen to this and are deceived. And that's what causes so much problems. Confusion is thrown into the minds of immature people, confusing them with false doctrine. And so often that causes people to lose their faith and their love for Christ. For other times it's temptation. They've pretended to follow Christ, but it's intellectual. For others it's emotional. Remember Jesus said, those on the rock are those who receive the word with joy, but they've got no root. And so they believe for a short while. But in the time of testing, they fall away. Why do they fall away? Because they're pretenders. They're pretenders. And it's temptation. For others, it's worldliness. Drawn away by the attractions of the world. And we remember that. We all know these stories. Remember Demas. Demas is mentioned in the Bible as helping the Apostle Paul, being with Paul on his journeys. And then in 2 Timothy you read, Demas is gone because he loved this world. Why did Demas lose? He was a pretender. Why was he a pretender? He succumbed to the worldliness of the world and the standards of the world and the lust of money. And he's gone. You see, Jesus said the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on, they become choked. They are choked by life's worries, by riches, and by pleasures. And they do not mature. Friends, they're pretenders. And they don't go on and they don't mature. Why not? Because riches choke them. The worries of life choke them. The pleasures of the world choke them. That's worldliness. For others, it's sheer neglect. Remember the book of Hebrews chapter 2 says, how can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? They neglect. You know this and I know it. We know every day we must be in the Bible. We know that. We know we ought to pray. We know we shouldn't neglect the gathering of the saints together, but people neglect it. And you know what happens? The pretenders drift. And some of them never come back. Why not? They weren't saved. They were pretenders. Become apostates. For others, it's because of hardened hearts, like we saw with those people. They came out of Egypt, they saw God's goodness and kindness, but they hardened their hearts. Of 2 million people, only 2 got in. Only 2. The rest died. God challenging you. Their hearts became hard. For others, it's religion. They've got religion. They're on the fringes of Christianity, but never have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Don't enjoy a living personal relationship with Him. So the writer of the Hebrews says it's impossible. It is impossible. This is what the Bible says. For those who have been once enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance. Become pretenders, Hebrews 6. And the other reason, perhaps, is because they continue to forsake the assembling of themselves together, that passage that our brother Peter read to us tonight. And at the end, when the roll is called up yonder, and the books are opened, and your name's not there. Oh, friends, those things weigh heavy on my heart. They really do. And this little book of Jude just comes and stirs us. And what Jude says is, remember. Remember what happened to Israel. Remember what happened to the angels. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. If you fall away, you're going to experience the judgment of God. So just in closing, what can we say about today? Does it occur today? Of course it does. It's all around you and me today. All around us. If we go on sinning, says the writer to the Hebrews, if we go on sinning willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. But there's a certain terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a terrifying thing. And all around us, friends, there are pretenders. So what do we say by way of conclusion tonight? Just two things, and then we are on our way. The first thing is, surely what Jude is saying to us is, it's so important to examine my own heart. Am I really, really one of God's children? Have I put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord? Am I walking with Him? Am I going on with Him? Am I persevering in my faith? Am I growing? That's the test. Because the world out there is going to do anything it can to take you away. The other thing that Jude really does remind me of, and Kennedy and I were just saying this yesterday, there are apostates. They're in our churches. They're in our theological colleges. They're in the universities. They no longer believe the precious Word of God as the inspired, infallible Word of God. They've given it all up. We must say to them, my friend, one more step, and there'll be judgment. Remember Israel. Remember Sodom. And remember the angels. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this little book. It's just very challenging to all of us. And I pray by your grace and mercy, we will be those who humbly walk with you, who are growing. And Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, are putting to death the deeds of the flesh and showing a world that is so lost of the only way of hope and joy in Jesus. How we pray that you will help us to be light and salt in this world. And please, gracious God, as you know each one of us here tonight, pray that there will not be, even here tonight, a pretender. Thank you for being with us today. Please take us safely home. And may we be those who love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength, and who love our neighbor as ourselves. We ask all these things and commit one another to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.